Heavenly Father, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father, as we have assembled in this evening, it is with great anticipation that we come with thy word before us, and as we are to open and to read and to meditate upon it, Lord, we rely upon thy Holy Spirit who is with us here, according to the promise that we read. Now, Lord, we rely upon him that he would lead us to all the truths, open our hearts, and that thou, Lord Jesus, reveal thyself unto us, and that through that revelation, Lord, we would come to serve thee and to devote our lives unto thee. So speak, O Lord, unto our hearts in this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this evening's reading and meditation the desire that we would turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 26. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 26. Evangelium da se pročita zajednički iz Dela Apostola, 26. glava. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, wherefore, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. There was the chapter before us is so illustrative. It takes us to this moment where Paul, a prisoner, is before the king, and we can see what unfolds and in great detail, and we consider Paul is, the king is now telling Paul, who is being brought to him, here's a king, King Agrippa, who is, he is in his royal robes. He is enthroned. And before him is Paul in chains and a prisoner. What a contrast between the two. And Agrippa tells Paul that he is now able to give an answer for himself of the charges that are being made against him. And Paul delights in the fact that he can actually be given a chance to speak. And he brings, and he first brings about to Agrippa, he tells him, first he puts before him, he acknowledges that you, King Agrippa, know the customs of the Hebrew people. You know everything about the Hebrew people. You know everything. I know you know this. So he's telling him and reminding him that you know everything of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew way of life, and the things that are that the Jews and how they live, and so he says, I know thee to be an expert. And Paul also was an expert in the customs and everything. The only difference is Paul is now in those customs and all the questions that are and all the things that the prophets have written about. Paul is not just an expert in the knowledge of it, he is an expert in the spiritual side of it. He's living it. He's living exactly what the Old Testament has prophesied that would come to take place, that Jesus would come, that he would suffer, and that through his death and through his resurrection, that we could also be given a new manner of life and to live on this side of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he brings Agrippa to the knowledge or to the acceptance that you know these things. And he says, then he gets into his own life. And he says, my manner of my life from my youth. He says, All the Jews know this, what my life was like. They knew me from the beginning. If only they would testify that he was after the straightest sect of religion. He says, I lived a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee. And so now he says, I am now being judged for the hope of the promise of God that was made unto our fathers. So he's saying, those things which were promised, I'm living in that, and now I'm going to be judged for those things. And he says, I am accused of these things of the Jews for this hope that is in me. So why, he asks the king, is it an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? Because the cross without the resurrection is folly. It's foolishness. Without the resurrection. But with the resurrection, it's the power. And he says here, I verily thought with myself, as he lived a Pharisee, that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He was a sworn enemy of Jesus Christ. Let's think about that a minute. Steeped in the law of the straightest, he says here, the most straightest sect of our religion, a Pharisee, that was me. And I was an enemy of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did many things that were contrary to his name. So he lived in the absolute opposite of what Jesus Christ of Nazareth had come and lived and showed. He was doing absolute opposite. He said, I did those things in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. So this is now those who are living as he is now living, who were redeemed and born again, and through faith have the indwelling of the Spirit of God and walk in the power of the Spirit. He is taking them to prison. He's saying this. I did these things. I shut them up in prison. I received authority from the chief priests, and they were put to death. This is serious, how serious he was against Jesus of Nazareth, that if you profess him, if you're a servant of his, you're going to die. And I'm going to see to it, and I'm going to pursue you from house to house, from city to city, and I'm going to be there to see to it that you receive what he would think is their just reward. He said, I gave my voice against them. I punished them often in every synagogue. He went to the synagogues. He compelled them. He tried to make them blaspheme against Jesus Christ, that they would renounce him. I compelled them to blaspheme, he says, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. He pursued them everywhere. And he says, I went to Damascus with authority, with commission from the chief priest. And at midday, the brightest moment of the day, he says, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. So Saul, breathing out, as it said, threatenings, persecuting, putting his word against those who were servants of the Lord, putting them to death, pursuing them into strange cities. Jesus doesn't say what you and I would say. No, he meets him. He meets him on this way to Damascus. And a great light shines about him, brighter than the noonday sun. And everyone fell to the earth. And Jesus speaks. And he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus arrested him, if we could say, literally on the way. And he revealed himself to him. That which was written in the prophets, that which was prophesied, Jesus now tells Saul, that's me. And you are persecuting me. When you chase these saints into strange cities and you give them no rest and you try to make them blaspheme against me, he says, you're doing that to me. And here is Saul, who is so mad against anyone who followed Jesus. He says, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. And he told him again, whom thou persecutest. Again. He says, why are you persecuting me? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And we see here Jesus granting him forgiveness. He says, rise. Stand on your feet. Someone who is just putting others to death. And we know of one by name, Stephen. He's putting Christians to death. Jesus meets him on the way, stops him, shows him who he is, and he tells him, stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will still yet appear unto thee. And those things which you have seen already, and which you will see, you are to be a witness. And he says, I will deliver you from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So, in Ephesians, Paul says in a prayer that he had on behalf of the Ephesians, he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So we see here what Jesus is saying, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, a faith that is in me. And so Paul is saying, Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. This is turning from the power of Satan unto God. And you're going to be rooted, that you would be rooted and grounded in love. And then you would be able to comprehend with all the saints that Saul was putting to death, who understood the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and knew and know the love of Christ. which passeth knowledge. He's going to reveal himself that you would know the love that you cannot, that cannot be known. And he says that you might be filled with the fullness of God. This is Paul's prayer. And Jesus is saying here that those which are sanctified by faith that is in me receive this power. And this power is none other than Christ himself, that is, he dwells in our hearts by faith. And so, dear ones, Paul is giving this defense to the king. And he says, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He says, but I showed first to them of Damascus and in Jerusalem, throughout all the coast of Judea, to the Gentiles, that what? That they should repent and turn to God. And do works meet for repentance. And for this, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. We can see that earlier in the Acts, that the call to repentance, to faith, Paul is staying true to the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is before a king, and he does not give him a watered-down version. What a blessing this king had. This wasn't just some yo-yo preacher who calls himself a preacher that loves to be in the presence of a king or a president or somebody of that is enthroned and so on, and now he's going to go in and give him some watered-down version of the gospel to make him feel good. No, he says, I know you know these things, O king, and this is, I wasn't disobedient to this vision, and this is what I was commissioned to do. And this is what the prophets of old have prophesied about that would come to pass, that we should repent, turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. Don't just say, I believe. Have works meet for repentance. Turn to God. When one turns to God, he turns away from the world. That's repentance. That's what he says here. Do the works for repentance by turning and repenting to God. And then he says, having therefore obtained help of God, he recognizes the only reason he's still alive and still going is because God is keeping him going. He doesn't rely on anything on his own. Did he think this was going to be a waste of time to give the gospel to the king? What our purpose is to preach the gospel and let God do the rest. God says, my word will not return to me void. It will not return unto me void. And so he says, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great. Doesn't matter if you're a pauper, if you're a prisoner, if you're a king, I'm witnessing to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And what is that? This is the gospel, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And Festus he's had enough. He interrupts now. Where this would have gone if it wasn't interrupted, God only knows. But Festus interrupted with a loud voice. He says, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Now, Festus already heard Paul speak earlier. And here's the difference between Festus and Paul, or Festus and Agrippa. Agrippa, we're told, believes. So Paul is speaking to a king that believes the written word. But he's absolutely lost. Is there amongst us here those who believe in the word? But as the king rejects, so do we. He says to him, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness." And again, he goes back, "For the king knows of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." He's saying the fact that Christ suffered, the Christ was buried, and the Christ arose is not a secret. This was not done in a corner and now it's just being whispered about. This was done openly. You, the king, or the king knows these things. He knows them to be true. And then he turns to the king and says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" And he answers for him, "I know that thou believest." He's bringing this back to the king, speaking directly to his conscience, trying to impress upon him the truths that Jesus, as he says here, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people, because he was the light. He is the light. And so that he would show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And he said, "I know that thou believest." And the king says unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And dear ones, you know, this phrase could be taken many ways. It could be said that he was mocking Paul. It could be saying, that he's trembling and almost he's persuaded, but he can't quite make the decision. Paul simply replies to that, "I would to God that not only thou," he said, "not only you, King, but also Festus, also Bernice and all of them that are sitting here, all these noblemen that are sitting here listening to me, I would that all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am." And then he throws in, "Accept these bonds." He says, "I don't wish that upon anybody." That's a man that was born again. I want you to have all of the blessings and the joy that is in Christ Jesus. I don't wish these bonds to you. And so, dear ones, Paul in this chapter, in this defense before Agrippa, lays out very boldly, never one to back down, doesn't matter who is before him, the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, my dear friends, you are in many ways like Agrippa. You believe, and you know these things to be true. You know that Christ, you believe the Bible. But even as Paul tried to come to the will of the king, to break him, to show him, he spoke of the hope that he has. And that hope can be yours too, Agrippa. That's yours too. Almost. We know the hymn very well. Almost persuaded. Almost. What does that even mean? That means I believe, but I'm not ready to give. Almost. And we would think we can still being that we're almost at that point where we make that decision that we could even do some things, and that because we believe that Christ will judge us differently and so on than he would maybe like Festus here who doesn't believe. But the hymn says, almost but lost. Almost persuaded, but lost. And so Agrippa here had a chance to hear the gospel, and he rejected it. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look at what Saul was called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the message that he would preach, that message was turning to God from the power of Satan. When we yield ourselves unto the power of Satan, we are doing what the king and what Festus and his noblemen are doing. They listen, they hear, and they choose a different way. Christianity is living in the power. Living in the power of the resurrection. Living with those truths in our hearts. Not looking to see how far left or right we can go. Not looking to see what kind of boundaries we can push against without breaking the church's law or without having the church come after me or whatever it is that we think up in our minds. We're more afraid of the church than we are of Christ. We're more afraid of what someone might think other than what Christ would think. But we see the mercy of our Lord. Looking at Saul, what he is doing, and he stops him. He could have chose someone else. He could have chose one of Stephen or who was put to death. He could have chosen someone else who was already a servant and to bring him to this point. No, he chose. He goes, I will show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. But the Lord of glory, arisen, sees a man who is completely lost, and he shows him the way. And we know the way, dear ones. We know the way, my dear brothers and sisters and my dear friends. We can meet it as he is defending literally the way, as it's called in earlier in the Acts. This is what Paul is doing here, is defending the way, which is the gospel, which is Jesus. And so, as he is defending this and explaining in this defense before Agrippa, he's also bringing us all to how we are sanctified by faith. And it is by faith that Christ lives in us, and it's through that faith that we have the power. So, brothers and sisters, when we look at our lives, if we see that today I didn't walk in the power of the Spirit, it comes down to what? Faith. I don't have the faith. And we say, well, that's hard to understand because I know I believe. Well, Agrippa believed, but he had no faith. The faith is when we come and turn to God, as he says here, they would turn from darkness, turn to light, who is God. We turn to him. And when we turn from darkness, we've left the realm of Satan and his power, and we're in the light and in the power of God as we are sanctified by faith And Christ dwells in us by faith. And when Christ is dwelling in us, and I'm in the light, and I've turned to God, and from the darkness unto light, I can't say that I'm weak. How am I weak? When I choose a different way than this way to receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Christ is asking us also, dear ones, rise up. Stand up on your feet. I have forgiven you. Come to the light. By faith in me, I will demonstrate in you what you can read about in these Acts of the Apostles. Oh yes, the miracle. We should not ever even desire to be able to do a miracle. Because the only way that we would have a desire that we could do a miracle would be for our own glory. Why would I not simply pray to the Lord and let the Lord's will be done? But if I want to be able to do the miracles that the apostle did, it's because I want some kind of a glory. I want something for myself. That means I would never do what Peter and John did. Why are you looking at us as if we did this by our own power? Why are you looking at us? It is by Jesus that this man is walking. And so dear ones, the power has not diminished in any way. The power that the apostles walked in has not been diminished. If we were to think that it is, we would think that God is not God. That his spirit isn't the same as it was yesterday. And he says, I am the same. I'm always the same. And so, who is with an excuse? Can I say I'm with an excuse? Can I say it's my upbringing? Can I say it's this and that? And the word is with us. We today, all of us here today, heard the same thing that the King Agrippa, Festus, the nobleman Bernice, they all heard what we just heard. Exact thing. We heard the same thing. We're going to look at Agrippa and say, how could he not have repented? We're going to look at Bernice. We're going to look at Festus. We're going to look at all these. How could they have rejected? Well, we just look at ourselves. Are we ready to turn to God? Turn from darkness to the light and live in the power of the Spirit of God. That is my desire for myself, dear ones, and for each of us, that we would simply turn to him and that our faith in him would be one that would sanctify us, set us aside, and so that we would do as Saul or as Paul did, without looking, small or great, doesn't matter who you are, you're going to hear the word. You're going to hear who Jesus is. May God bless his word upon each of our hearts, dear ones, that we would truly find that the Lord would give us these desires to really commit ourselves unto him and serve him as only he and he alone is worthy of. Amen.
As we were listening to Paul's experience that he had spoke to King Agrippa, and he gave his testimony of how he was and what kind of a man he was. And all the things that he said was very true. And there were many that really, really feared this man because of the things that he'd done. He cut him no slack. And so we can read in chapter 9 of Acts where when he saw that light and was converted, God spoke to him. And when he came, he spent 3 days without sight. And the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, I want you to go there, meet in this house. There's a man there named Saul. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard by many this man how much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And then the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And so you see, truly a repented man, truly changed, completely different from what he was. And as we read the scriptures and find and the experiences that he had, the things that he went through, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, leaves us on a good example how we ought to live our lives, willing to go, willing to do whatever the Lord leads by the leading of the Holy Spirit. May God bless these words upon our hearts as we are dismissed this evening.